Oh, man. Again with the golf.
Wow.
Morales loves to kick a guy when he's down. Jared Goff still getting crap long after he's left town.
I was going to say the guy gets shipped out and sent to Detroit, and Morales is still picking up. Hey, Chris, you won. The war is over.
He's gone.
You got rid of Jared Goff.
He's in Detroit. Wow. He'll never be heard of again. All right, so, John, as this weekend demonstrated, I was completely right last week in my criticism of the Lakers. After that Utah loss, they were embarrassed. And you know what? And I said it last week. No defensive intensity, no fire, and everybody wound up agreeing with me. All of a sudden, this weekend, what do they bring? They bring the defense. They hold two teams under 100 points. That is what a Frank Vogel defense does.
Okay, so you know what the record is this year when the Lakers hold teams under 100 points?
I got to think it's pretty good.
11-1.
There you go. There
11,
you go.
By the way, Mace, 11-0 when they hold their opponent under 42% from the field, and they did it in both those games. I got a question for you.
Yes.
How much credit does Schroeder deserve?
Oh, a lot. I mean, that's a... He takes a lot of the pressure off LeBron when it comes to handling the basketball and initiating the offense. He is critical to their success.
How do you feel about plus minus? Michael's not a big I kind of am a plus minus guy. Michael's not. How do you
I think
plus minus is the number that your team is while you're on the court. So for example, if you and I are on the court together and the other team goes on a 6-0 run, we would have a minus 6.
Yes.
Until we got our act together.
You know what? I think it's an... I don't trust it completely. I think it can be really, really misleading, but I guess you're going to tell me Dennis Schroeder has a good one.
I've never seen this before. His plus-minus last night was plus 27 at the end of the first quarter.
Wow.
He had a plus 27 plus minus in one quarter.
Wow.
And I'll tell you another thing. People are going to call me a homer for saying this, but
you are a homer.
I absolutely believe it. The way LeBron James played defense in these last two games, you know, LeBron has made the all defense time in the NBA six times,
yes.
Five times all defense first team. If he plays defense like that for the rest of the year, he should be on the all defense team. He had six steals in two games, but Mace, he got his hands on everything. And he was taking everybody, guards, centers, forwards. When he locks in defensively like that, good luck. I mean, the Warriors got punched in the mouth and just never got up.
Yeah.
By the way, here's the Lakers' totals that they've allowed in the last six quarters, okay? So I'm starting with the second half of the Portland game.
Got it.
All right? 19, 17... 21, 23, 25, 22. I mean, five of the six quarters under 25 and the sixth one exactly 25. I mean, if you play defense like that, nobody's going to beat you.
Yeah. No, they brought it defensively.
Now, it gets harder tomorrow. Real game tomorrow. Phoenix has got the same amount of losses as the Lakers do. Phoenix is 22-11 and the Lakers are 24-11.
Yeah, they've been really good. Really, really good. Good weekend for the Lakers. Feeling good now, headed towards the All-Star break. By the way, one of the big nuggets from last night's game, season low 24 minutes for LeBron James last night, which is ideal, right? The ideal is let's find a way to dial back LeBron's minutes. Now, the only way to do that and still try to win games is for them to get off to just a tremendous start, which is what happened last night. It really wasn't much of a ball game as it went along.
I think he could have played less. They were up 30 at the half. Michael said, don't play him in the second half. I thought, well, he's going to want to play a little bit. And then they got him out of there at the end of the third quarter. I felt the same,
by the way, last week during that Utah game. I thought, game is over, could have played less.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 19-6-4 last night. 55 points for the bench, big bench night. And the Lakers shot better from three, 35.5% from three last night.
Well, it's not what they're shooting from three. It's what the other teams are shooting from three. I mentioned they're 11-0 when they hold the other team under 42%.
Yep.
Warriors shot 41. Blazers shot 38, but from three, they both stunk. Last night, the Warriors, 23% from three, 8 of 34. And Portland wasn't much better on Friday night. Portland on Friday night couldn't make a three. And so I think a lot of that is when they lock in defensively.
Yeah.
And, you know, on Friday, they forced 15 turnovers, had 9 steals and 7 blocks. You see how many steals they had last night?
No, I did not. I don't recall.
14.
Wow.
14 steals, season high. So they've had 24 steals or 23 steals in 2 games. I mean, and when they steal it, Mace, they get a lot of what you call live turnovers, you know, and that's what a steal is. And they're so good in the open court because they have a bunch of greyhounds. LeBron might be the best open court player in the history of the league. If he gets the ball and you don't have 3 guys between him and the basket, he's going right to the rim. But they also, like, Kuzma's fast, KCP's fast, Talen Horton Tucker's fast. If they get the ball on a steal, it's a jailbreak. And because of that, they are just running people out of the building. Now, this would be, if they win tomorrow night, that would be a really impressive win against Phoenix. Phoenix has been really good lately.
Yeah.
And this obviously means a lot to the Suns. And then they play Sacramento. Sacramento just is, I think they've lost 13 of 15 games there, but it is the second night of a back-to-back. So, you know, we'll see. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, then they get a week off.
Yep.
So let's see what they do over the next 2 nights.
Yeah, and I think the week off is incredible. And by the way, I hope they don't play LeBron a lot of minutes in the All-Star game. Just
well, you know the All-Star coach is.
Isn't it Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, Quinn's going to play him 40 minutes.
Yeah. How do they pick the is it the team that is in first place the All-Star coaching staff?
Right. First place on the day you announce the rosters. So it's going to be
I'm sure Frank Vogel feels good about it. Does Frank Vogel have to go?
No, he went last year. He was the coach last year. No,
so he gets a real break.
Yeah, if you are the winning coach, you take your whole staff with you. So it'll be all the Utah staff that's coaching the game.
By the way, 877-710-ESPN. Whenever you want to ring into the show, do it. Phone lines are always open, and you want to react to anything we're saying, go ahead and do that. Anybody that gets through, passes through the very difficult screening process, winds up getting a very limited edition Mason and Ireland t-shirt. So I wanted to play this, and by the way, 1:30 today, we've got a batch of mean tweets.
Oh, good.
Which I can't stand. Because they always gang up on me, John.
You always get
away scot-free. They always bang on me.
No, it's too bad that we're doing this today because I know Morales needs a heads up because there was a couple of good ones. All right, look, here's one that came in last night.
Yep.
I don't know what this dude's thinking. From Luis Iniguez.
Okay.
I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Luis. Champagne and Nuts, that's Michael.
Yeah.
And Bergman Greg are the best on 710. They actually respond, unlike Serial Killer Eyes and Mr. T's Slacky, L.A. Ireland. So if I'm Mr. T's Slacky, who is Mr. T?
Wait a minute, what do they mean respond? Respond to every tweet?
I guess, I don't know.
Who has the time to respond to every tweet? I try to respond to some, but there's no way I could respond to every tweet. And the serial killer eyes thing is,
by the way,
way overdone.
So you know what we're dealing with here?
Mm.
He spelled serial killer eyes C-E-R-E-A-L, like, you know, Cheerios or Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, yeah, so that's the serial killer.
That's the type of listener we attract.
You know, serial killer killed Cap'n Crunch.
There you go. Oh, is that what you had over the weekend?
No, I was, you know what, I tried to get Gus's this weekend, and they do not deliver to my house.
Well, wait a minute, like not even through Postmates?
Not even through Postmates. So ended up getting Honey's Kettle fried chicken from Culver City.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
That's surprising.
All right, so I wanted to do this now because it's really funny, and we can play it later in the show too. Did you see Saturday Night Live on Saturday night?
I did.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I thought Nick Jonas was great.
He was great. Keenan Thompson, his LeVar Ball sketch was so damn funny.
With the chocolate shoe?
Yeah, with the chocolate shoe. We've got part of that Jorge, going in part of this, this is Kenan Thompson as LeVar Ball on Saturday Night Live.
It's been a good year for you. LaMelo is playing really well. Your son.
You damn right he is. Yeah. And he's playing for the most storied franchise in all of basketball. The Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte, North Carolina. The regional banking capital of the world. Gateway to Gastonia. No mountains. No oceans, but enough humidity to make your balls sticky as taffy.
So you think LaMelo's gonna win Rookie of the Year?
Oh, he's got all the awards locked up. Rookie of the Year, locked up. MVP, locked up. Prettiest hog at the Mecklenburg County Fair, locked up. That means he's got some good-ass bacon.
Wait, MVP, what about LeBron or Giannis Antetokounmpo?
You talk to me about no Giannis, I can cut you too.
Oh, no.
LaMelo has got this. And after he's won, he's going to unite both North and South Carolina into a Super Carolina called Carolassus. Carolassus, monster of the South. Second cousin to Mothra. Never lost to Godzilla. Never to the Zilla.
Well, it looks like it's all coming together.
It sure is, Michael. LaMelo is the queen of Charlotte. My other boy, Lonzo, is the Baron of the Bayou. LiAngelo is a G League superstar. And I got a fourth son who's tearing up the Australian League. Ladingo.
Ladingo?
Yeah, he'll dunk on you and then steal your baby.
Ladingo.
You know, it's not that far from the true of what the actual LeVar
is like. No. That is some funny stuff. Kenan Thompson. And then he was on the Golden Globes last night. He's just a funny guy. I actually saw part of his TV show on the NBC on the Channel 4, and that's actually really funny too. As network TV goes, very, very funny. There are a couple of network TV shows that are tolerable now.
I didn't like Kenan's TV show, and I love Kenan.
You didn't?
Yeah, I gave it a chance, and
I think it's as network TV. You know what I think the best network TV show is? This is weird, but it does make me laugh. The Goldbergs.
Never seen it.
I think the Goldbergs is really funny. I know that sounds weird, but it's really funny.
Isn't Jeff Garlin on it?
Jeff Garlin, and then the lady from Bridesmaids plays the mom on there. It's actually really funny. But most network TV I find to be insufferable, and laugh tracks are the worst.
I don't think I watch any network TV shows.
Other than the Sunday morning news shows, right? I watch three of those.
I'm trying to think. I don't.
I watch Chuck Todd. I watch George Stephanopoulos, and I watch
Monday,
Chris Wallace.
Tuesday, Wednesday. Nah, I don't. I don't watch any of them.
I'm gonna give. They're doing a new Law and Order. I'm gonna give a chance this week. Chris Maloney is back. Christopher Maloney. He's
that
back.
Is that still on TV? That's
oh yeah.
On TV
no, they're
for
bringing
like
it. They're bringing
years.
It back. It's like Law and Order, organized crime, or something. Great. Dick Wolf is doing that. There you go. Coming up next, what LeBron said Friday night about sticking to sports. And then at 1:30, we've got mean tweets coming up for you. We got the JJ Watt news coming up for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I like that sneak preview. All right, so Friday night, actually Friday during the day or Thursday, whenever it was, Zlatan, and say his last name, John.
Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who
great
is a
player.
Swedish soccer star, played for the Galaxy, I think for
played
one
for Manchester
season.
United. He's played for a lot of great teams around the world. Unbelievable.
So he came out and said something about LeBron. He said LeBron should stick to sports. And LeBron spoke to that issue on Friday night. Here he is on the words from Zlatan.
If there's no reason, well, not I won't say no reason, but there's no way I will ever just stick to sports, because I understand how you know, how this platform and how powerful my voice is. And he can just ask Renee Montgomery, you know, if I would have shut up and just dribbled. Seeing that beautiful black woman today, you know, be a part of a group where she's part of an ownership group now with the Atlanta Dream down in Atlanta. And it's funny he say that, because I believe in like 2018, he was the same guy who said when he was back in Sweden, talking about the same things, because his last name wasn't a certain last name, that he felt like it was some racism going on when he was out on the pitch. Right? He did say that, right? Yeah. I thought he said that. So I speak from a very educated mind. So I'm kind of the wrong guy to actually go at, because I do my homework.
And LeBron does. And I think we are done with the stick to sports era for professional athletes. I mean, I think professional athletes speak out more and more, and I find them using their platforms to be a really powerful way for change and to raise awareness around certain issues.
What's interesting is that you have to be and let me start by saying, I don't think I've ever seen somebody handle himself off the court better than LeBron does. I mean, the whole time I've been, and you know, Kobe was great at it, and Shaq was great at it.
Yep.
If you look at the I Promise School, if you look, you know, that story he mentioned about Renee Montgomery, LeBron got involved and helped her out, and now she's a part owner of that WNBA team that Kelly Loeffler owned, and her own team turned against her.
Yeah.
You know, so LeBron puts his money where his mouth is all the time. So he's really good at it. And I think the way LeBron said it, you shouldn't come at him because he does his homework, is really well said. Now, having said that, LeBron is so powerful and so good that he can speak his mind. But not everybody can. Zlatan probably could. Zlatan's good enough if you wanted to get involved. It cost Colin Kaepernick his career. You know, Colin Kaepernick's not in the NFL, not because he can't play. It's because he's political.
Yeah.
Colin Kaepernick's better than, what would you say, probably all 32 third-string quarterbacks and half of the second-stringers?
No question. Hang on a second. Paul is on the line, wants to react to this. Hey, Paul, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. You know, I'm a fan of the show. I call from time to time. And I wanted to chime in on the subject because, look, I'm a fan of LeBron. You know, I love him the way everyone else does, what he's contributed to sports and everything. I'm also a fan of Zlatan. And athletically, you could compare the two as equals. In terms of everywhere Zlatan goes, he's fantastic. Just like everywhere LeBron goes, he's fantastic. And Zlatan is 39 years old, defying father time in the soccer realm. So one thing I want to say is I've noticed in all the coverage of Zlatan and LeBron, what LeBron said, even the reporter that asked LeBron said, hey, LeBron, did you hear what LeBron said? He said that you should stick to sports. And that's not at all what LeBron said. I have the quote right here.
Okay, good. Give us the quote.
So the quote is, James is phenomenal at what he's doing, but I don't like when people have some kind of status, they go and do politics at the same time. Do what you're good at. Do the category you do. I play football because I'm the best at playing football. I don't do politics. And in my opinion, it feels like everyone's trying to drag standing up for racism as what Zlatan is saying, or that LeBron shouldn't do his school. And I don't think that's what Zlatan is saying here. He's just saying, let the politicians do politics. Speaking up for racial oppression isn't necessarily political. That's more of a societal issue, because there's no party in the United States that supports racism.
Well, you get some blowback on that, but the
The quote is interesting, but I mean, I take the quote to be stay out of politics, stay out of things that don't relate to basketball.
This is a good call, because the irony of what Paul brought up is that if you study LeBron's career, and I obviously have, one thing that has served him really well is he has a saying that I think it's smart for all people to adopt. His saying is, keep the main thing the main thing. In other words, LeBron knows that in order for him to be successful in all the other areas of life, that he needs to win. He needs to be a winning basketball player, which is where he lives. You know, he concentrates on basketball more than anything. He spends more time working out and more time on his body than anything because he knows if he's on stage at the NBA Finals, which is basically where he lives, then anything else he does will be in that spotlight. That's the way he can most use his platform, by keeping the main thing the main thing. So both things, Mace, could be true. LeBron can be completely dedicated to winning basketball games and speak out on issues he's passionate about. And that's the way he handles it. So I don't know. It's tough to criticize that. You know, if LeBron was, if you could make the argument that somehow he wasn't playing well and it was interfering, and his politics were interfering with his game, that's one thing. But it's literally the opposite. He's probably going to win the MVP. And he's coming off the most recent NBA title as the finals MVP. So he keeps the main thing the main thing. He's really good at that.
And just to note, he didn't even finish the quote. The other thing I think that a lot of people were upset about was how Zlatan said, "This is the first mistake famous people do when they become famous and come into a certain status. For me, it is better to avoid certain topics and do what you're best at doing, because otherwise it doesn't look good."
I guess that could be true in some circumstances, but I think that LeBron balances that stuff pretty well. I mean, if you look at the things LeBron is involved in, you know, the whole More Than campaign that he launched with his friends, you know, Maverick Carter and Rich Paul and Randy Mims, the you can be more than an athlete. That's at the heart of all this. Is LeBron is the best basketball player in the world, but he doesn't let that define him. The whole more, if you haven't seen it, I've made this speech before. If you haven't seen it, Google Maverick Carter USC commencement speech. When Maverick Carter was invited to speak to, and it's on YouTube, was it, Lindsay, have you ever seen that?
Nope.
All right. Maverick Carter explains the whole concept of More Than, of how he was working at Nike and, you know, that was going to be his career. He was going to go into that business and he was going to be in merchandising. And he woke up one day and said, "I want to be more than that." And he branched out and started doing a whole bunch of other stuff. And just because you're a great basketball player doesn't mean you can't be a guy that opens up a school. And that's my favorite LeBron story ever. If you haven't gone down the rabbit hole, is the I Promise School. Basically, he opened it in the worst part of Akron for kids that were getting lower level education. Some of them couldn't even read. And they're now going to the nicest school in the city, and everything is paid for. Their snacks, their lunches, their books, they all get a bike. He's basically lifting them up and saying, "Look, we're going to give you really good teachers and we're going to pay for everything. And if you graduate, we're going to pay for you to go to college." And that's, you know, that's life changing stuff. I don't know how you look at that and say stick to sports when you see what he's doing with the I Promise School, because that has nothing to do with sports. He doesn't care if those kids ever pick up a basketball. What he wants them to do is make it through school. And you know, that's the, I love Zlatan. I think he's a really good player, and it was really fun to cover him when he played here. And I'm a Manchester United fan, and he was great when he played for us. And, I like Paul, that caller said, he's an unbelievable player. But his view is, look, I'm going to stick to playing soccer and not delve into political stuff. And LeBron's is, look, I'm going to use my platform where I want. I think he's really good at it. And so I think that you can be a great basketball player and you can be one of those people that uses your platform for good. And he clearly does. Okay, Mace, we're having technical problems with Mason. So, Jorge, let's do this. Today is Justin Bieber's birthday. And for those of you, have you ever heard this, Lindsay? Have you ever heard the Justin Bieber does play-by-play at the Laker game?
I have not.
Okay, so Michael and I used to do a thing in those 5 years where the Lakers weren't good, in the 5 years where they didn't make the playoffs. We did a thing called the third chair, where sometimes when the games were one-sided or, you know, we had some time to kill, we would find somebody famous at Staples Center and stick them in a chair in between Michael and I and have them broadcast the game. And this was circa 2014, 2015. Justin Bieber was at the game. We asked him if he wanted to do it, and here's what happened.
basketball fan up here with us, pop star Justin Bieber. Justin, you're Canadian. Aren't you supposed to be a hockey fan? I know you're a big basketball fan.
No. Yeah, I grew up watching a lot of hockey, but, you know, basketball, I always played growing up and got into. My grandpa's a big basketball fan, so, yeah.
And here come the Lakers the other way. Blake's going
to
lock it up. You want
to,
hey, Justin, you want to try my job?
I'll take it over.
Justin Bieber on the play-by-play. Go.
All right, Blake. Got it up top. Oh.
Illegal pick. They called Blake.
I was going to say that. It was an illegal pick.
Meta World Peace.
Meta World
pick.
Peace.
All right,
had an illegal pick there.
Now, you've tried almost everything with a microphone in your life. Yeah. Have you ever tried this?
No, this is my first time, so I'm a little nervous. I perform for thousands of people, and I don't get nervous, but I'm nervous right now.
Okay, well, take your turn. Now, you can call a play when it's Matt Bonner inbounds the ball to Tony Parker. Take it over, but just take your time. Don't try to be too quick. Just take your time and give the folks a description of what's going on.
Justin Bieber,
to Parker. Go ahead. Parker's going down the court. Gives it over to Tim Duncan. It seems like there's a call.
A foul on Ramon
foul
Sessions.
On to number 7.
Ramon Sessions fouling Tony Parker, rubbing off the screen. It'll be side out of bounds for the San Antonio Spurs.
See, this is harder than it looks.
Oh, it's easy.
You're doing great.
Okay, go ahead.
Right, try one more play. Tim Duncan at top of the key.
Yep, Tim Duncan. No, this is Parker. Parker gives it back to Duncan. Duncan's got it on the side. Gives it back. Oh.
Layup to Stephen Jackson.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Boom goes the dynamite.
You're natural at this, Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber's in the third chair, and that was a bucket for Stephen Jackson, and the Spurs lead by 6, 37-31. Blake's got it left side. Blake dribbling left, double-teamed inside to Gasol, 15-footer.
It's good. And boom goes the dynamite.
Gasol on the call from Justin Bieber, 37-33. We'll turn you into an announcer yet, Justin.
All right, cool.
Duncan guarded by Gasol. Take it away.
He goes up for the shot, and then he's blocked by Gasol. Get out of his face.
Blake with it the other way.
Gives it back to Gasol. Gasol's got it. Drives in. Oh, and he goes, and he, boom goes the dynamite, fellas.
Gasol scores on a reverse. Here comes Parker end to end, and he throws it out of bounds. Ball to the Lakers. Go ahead, Justin, take it away. Blake's got it.
He's taking it down the court. He's calling a play right now, guys. He's giving it back to Gasol. Gasol back to Blake. Blake shoots it, and it's good.
Two-pointer. Timeout on the floor.
All right, good. I'm going to go back to my seat.
All right, listen, Justin. Justin Bieber. Today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Justin Bieber. Not half bad on the play-by-play. I think he found it was a little harder than he thought it would be. All right, we'll get Mason back in here coming up next. And mean tweets still to come. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm just not ready for outside the house yet.
You know,
just
in Manhattan Beach, they've set up outside dining at all the restaurants in downtown Manhattan Beach. They've just basically shut the streets off and set up dining, and it's great. Super fun.
Yeah, I'm just not there yet. I'm not there. Once I get my two shots, I'm going to live my best life. But in the meantime, I'm kind of hunkered down. And everybody's got their different tolerance level. Mine is I'm not going to go to restaurants. I'll have stuff delivered. I'll go pick up. But I'm not going to sit down and eat at a restaurant right now, even if it's outside. But I support. But everybody else, you know, supporting restaurants is great and all that stuff. I'm just not quite there yet. Not quite there.
All right. So a few weeks ago, we decided that we're going to start taking all the mean tweets that we get from you guys and have either Amanda, our boss, or Greg, who's like boss's assistant, read the tweets that make fun of us. So if you want to get your name on the air, a really good way to do it, like that guy Luis Iniguez, is to insult us with a tweet.
Love a good insult.
So we've got 7 of these, I'm told.
Yeah, so we'll do a few here and then save a few for later in the show.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. And by the way, Lindsay and Chris Morales, neither one of them think this is funny. Lindsay, you don't think this is a funny bit.
I just think, I mean, it can be funny. I just think it's played out, you know? I just think it needs to be used more sporadically.
Well, we've only done it once before, I think.
Yeah, we've done it once before.
Like three times.
No, right, we haven't.
Let's see what the first one is. Hit it, Jorge.
@TomRob_Sun92. Where is that Venice Mace, and why does he keep taking days off? Your ratings must be terrible when he's gone.
Oh.
All my friends are like, no Mason, no listen. #IrelandSucks.
Wow. Now, see, you were all worried that all the tweets were going to be bad for you, and it was exactly the opposite.
That was definitely very I love that mean tweet. That one actually makes me look good.
Right. See, I don't know what you're worried about. What's the next one, Jorge?
@Jonah_243. I laugh every time at Venice Mace makes a bet. His predictions are the worst on radio. He's like the anti-Fez. It's funny when he's #losingisassoff.
You are kind of the anti-Fez.
The anti-Fez. Fez is our gambling expert, Steve Fezzik, who generally nails his winners here. And I kind of am the anti-Fez. I'm not having a good gambling year even so far. I've blown a lot of mythical money. I've guessed wrong on a lot of Laker games. So, yeah, I'm not the best when it comes to forecasting. Now, Dora, the medium, does really, really well at predicting.
Mm-hmm. You're Dora the medium.
I am not Dora the medium.
So you should actually take credit for her wins, which means your record would be better.
Yes, it would be. It would be. All right, what's the next one?
@LVR_24 Lakers. The best thing about mean tweets is the way at Venice Mace whines. Bagging on Mason is now my favorite sport.
See, now that's what I mean.
Now it's evolving into what you feared.
That's exactly what I mean. It's exactly what I mean. It's like you seem to skate through this bit. Like you, nobody really
is
all
there was,
over John
Ireland. There was one tweet that made fun of me and two that have made fun of you.
Okay.
So let's see what the next one goes.
@FunnyCharlieApples1. When at Venice Mace takes vacation, this show sucks.
Oh!
At LA Ireland gets so serious. The show is supposed to be funny. Ireland is good at the Lakers and all of that, but he was born with no sense of humor. #NoFun.
There you go. So now it's 2-2.
There's another one. Now it's even.
Now
it's even.
So yeah, you make up things in that crazy head of yours that just don't exist. But you always think everything's about you, so I could see why you would think all the mean tweets would make fun of you.
I just think I get a raw deal when it comes to mean tweets.
All right, now it's tied. Let's do one more, and then we'll do some more later. We'll do one more, Jorge.
@Dude_193444.
Nice.
Venice Mace is a whiny little beep. When he doesn't get his way, he just whines about it. He always says he's the boss of the show. If he's the boss, your show's in real trouble. Well, first of all, let me tell you, he's not the boss because I am.
Now that was funny.
Yeah. So Amanda adds a little editorial at the end.
But that's true. You have this illusion that you're in charge.
I feel like I am in charge.
You're not. How much input did you have in the hiring?
What makes you feel like you're in charge?
I was gonna say, Mace, how much input did you have in the hiring of Jorge?
Of all of the associate producers on the station, Jorge is the one that I would like to work with, and it's been a brilliant hire on my part.
And
Lindsay,
and this is 100% true.
Yeah.
Lindsay, did we even meet you before they hired you?
Nope.
I discovered her in Cleveland.
I
didn't even live in Cleveland when I started working there. I'd been in L.A. for 2 years already, but nice try.
Yeah. Yeah, I went panning for gold, and I found a diamond.
Well,
Lindsay,
just keep on thinking that. I think that's good for the show.
Yeah. All right. Coming up, hey, I want to do something coming up. Did you see the Brian Windhorst piece about the Lakers moving forward?
I don't think I did, but I normally read most of his stuff. I'm telling you what. If the Lakers play defense the way they played this weekend, they're winning the title again. I don't care what Brian says.
Well, no, he's actually talking about the luxury tax.
Oh, okay,
the
good.
Luxury tax, which is really interesting stuff. We got that coming up next for you. Plus, J.J. Watt is coming to the NFC West. Man, the best division in football is getting better. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. You know,
picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Who this is, John?
Jay Balvin.
Is that right? Where is this? This
no.
Isn't Bieber.
This is Bieber.
No, this is
Bieber.
Justin Bieber. Yeah,
Bieber. Yeah. This is Bieber in Espanol.
Hit.
Yeah, Despacito. One of the biggest records of, I don't know, is it 2 years ago? Gigantic record. All right. So John, Brian Windhorst wrote a piece today, and obviously Lakers win two in a row and all that stuff, and we're excited, and they're going to wrap up with Phoenix and Sacramento before they go to the All-Star break and get a week off. So Brian writes, a championship team is usually an expensive one. The Warriors paid $32 million in luxury tax back in 2018. The Cavaliers won it all in 2016. Their luxury tax bill was $54 million. But the Lakers last year accomplished an unbelievably rare feat. They won the NBA title without paying the luxury tax, which is incredible. But if they try to hold stuff together, all the free agents, you know, Dennis Schroeder and Alex Caruso and THT and all those guys, Wes Matthews, if they try to hold everything together, they will have a luxury tax bill for 2022 that exceeds $250 million for next season.
Right. Okay, a couple of things here. That's a very big if.
Right.
A lot of things can happen, as you saw last year. They won the title, and then four rotation guys left.
Right.
All right? That doesn't happen very often. Normally, when a team wins a title, you don't give up four rotation guys. But they were proactive. They traded a starter. They traded Danny Green for Dennis
right.
Schroeder, which turned out to be what looks like a really good move. Rajon Rondo made more money going somewhere else. Dwight Howard was going to come back and sign.
Went to Philly.
And JaVale McGee they traded. So I would, before you project that the Lakers are going to have this massive luxury tax, I would wait and see what Rob Pelinka comes up with. Because after they won the title last year, I didn't hear anybody saying they were going to switch out four rotation guys.
Right.
And they did. So, I mean, a lot of things could happen between now and then.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. Let me lay out some details now. Again, this is Brian Windhorst. Dennis Schroeder becomes a free agent at the end of this season. He's eligible to sign a contract extension now. He's been a really impactful player for the Lakers, and as we said earlier, and we saw it Friday and we saw it last night, eases the burden on LeBron James in the backcourt. He turned down a preseason offer from the Lakers, according to Woj, but they are still in talks, and it's something to keep an eye on. So Schroeder, you would think, the way he's played and the impact that he's had and the fact that he's going to be a free agent at the end of this season, you would expect they would work out a deal.
I agree with you. I'd be surprised if Dennis is not here next year. But again, who knows? But I agree with you on that.
Alex Caruso. League executives think he could draw interest at the full mid-level exception range, which is $9.5 million next year. He's currently earning $2.7 million. Does that sound right to you?
Yes. I don't know if he'll command a mid-level, but that's what. Do you know who the Lakers have in their mid-level now?
Is it Montrez, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
And Trez has an opt-out.
He is an opt-out. That's another guy to think about.
So, but I'd be really happy for Caruso if that happened.
If he got paid, yeah, absolutely.
Be so great.
Yeah, he's such a valuable
piece
of this team.
Go ahead and continue your details, and I'm gonna give you a fact that I think will put the minds of Laker fans at ease. But
okay. THT will be a free agent.
Correct. He was his second-round draft pick.
His salary for next season can't be higher than the full mid-level exception, which is $9.5 million. But opposing teams have the option of backloading a deal known as a poison pill. Somebody could offer Horton Tucker a deal in the range of 4 years, $60 million, with the last 2 years coming in at 19.7 and 20.7 respectively. So a poison pill on a deal for Talen Horton Tucker. Again, a really talented guy getting paid, so you feel happy for him on one level. On the other level, you think, ah, man, we want to see what he's going to turn into.
Right. Well, before you worry about losing THT, here's the important thing to remember. The Lakers have absolute total control over any offer he gets, no matter what it is. Even if it's an offer with the poison pill, like you described it, the Lakers would have the ability to match it. And now, let me say what I think most Laker fans know, but the Lakers, you know, Genie's been running the business for a long time, and it's one of the most successful sports businesses in the world. Their contract alone with Spectrum puts them light years ahead of most teams. We pay them. Their radio contract, the ESPN, is, I think, the best contract in the league for them. So they've got some money here to play. Now, obviously, they've been affected by the pandemic like every other team.
Everybody, yeah.
But if you compare them to other, you know, every team's been affected by the pandemic. So, Mace, if some team offers Talen Horton Tucker a $60 million deal, they got to come up with the money for it. You know, I think the Lakers are better equipped to do that than most other teams are. And most of all, the overwhelming thing I would say about this whole topic is that Rob Pelinka used to be an agent.
Yeah.
He's proven, I've told you this before, I would have bet my house that there was no
beautiful house, really big mansion in Manhattan Beach inside the gated community.
There was no way he was getting out from under Timofey Mozgov and Lew Deng's contract. Those two were the worst albatross contracts I can think of in the NBA in the last 5 years. Absolutely awful. And he got out of both of them. So it's kind of a little bit of in Rob we trust here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and look, Windhorst says he estimates Caruso, Horton Tucker, Schroeder, and Harrell, given their potential market values, would push the Lakers' payroll to $150 million. And the reality is, those guys are fantastic. I love the bench right now. I love Caruso's defense. I love the potential of Horton Tucker. He gets on a roll. Schroeder is really important. Harrell is great off the bench. But they're unlikely to be able to keep this exact group together.
I don't know. I'll say this, that Dr. Buss back in the day, and Genie runs the team the same way he did, when those Laker teams won back-to-back titles in 09 and 10, he brought everybody back and paid a tax on it, and they didn't win it in 11, but he said they have the right to defend their title. I think the Lakers are well-equipped. And by the way, a lot of this depends on how this season ends.
Sure.
But think about this, Mace. Last season ended in a title. And they got rid of four rotation players and upgraded in, if not all four, at least three of the four positions.
Yep.
So Rob's working on stuff like that all the time. You know, he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He doesn't talk a lot. He's kind of just in it to win it. And so for that reason, I think that Laker fans should rest assured that number one, they have great broadcast deals that allows them to if they need to go into the tax, and Rob wants to go into the tax, yep. I think Genie would work with him and say, okay, it's up to you, let's do it. And also, Rob may not even, you know, need to go that far into it. He may have some plans that allows more of those guys to stay around that we're not even thinking of. I learned that last year and 2 years ago when he got out from the Deng contract and the Mozgov contract. Remember, we used to do shows all the time. They'll never get out of this.
Oh, yeah. No, Mitch Kupchak brought a bag of money to Timofey Mozgov's front door and signed him at, like, midnight on that night.
And they gave up D'Angelo Russell to get out from the Mozgov contract.
Mozgov, yeah.
And everybody said, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? And do you remember the two players that came back in that deal?
Let's see. Came back from Minnesota.
No, from New Jersey.
Oh, from
the time, Brooklyn.
No, can't think.
So, he traded D'Angelo Russell and Timofey Mozgov to the Nets in exchange for, and the pick he got Brook Lopez, who turned out to be great for a year for the Lakers.
Yeah.
And the pick they got from the Nets, they used to draft Kyle Kuzma. It was the 27th pick in the first round, and they got Kuzma with it. So it was Kuzma and Lopez for D'Lo and Mozgov. I mean, that's just highway robbery.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was a killer trade. A killer trade. So we should mention this. J.J. Watt has got a brand new deal with the Arizona Cardinals.
That's surprising a little bit.
It is surprising.
They guaranteed him $23 million.
Yeah, which may have been the highest offer on the board. I mean, I think if he was really focused on winning a title, he probably would have gone somewhere else. I can't imagine Arizona. They really are the fourth best team in the NFC West in an unbelievably tough division.
You think they're worse than the Niners?
I do. The Niners had injuries last year.
Right.
That I think slowed them down, and they have a quarterback issue that they've got to deal with, and I expect them to deal with it somehow. I don't know what they're going to do a quarterback for the Niners. Right now they're sitting on Garoppolo, but they seem to want to move on from him.
Yeah, they apparently made a call on Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know how that's going to work out.
I mean, that's the kind of quarterback I think they wind up with. But get this, Watt and Chandler Jones combined, if you look at most sacks since 2012, Chandler Jones – In that Arizona defense has 97. J.J. Watt has 99.5. So the two sack leaders since 2012 on the same roster. Most sacks per 16 games all time. Most sacks per 16 games all time. J.J. Watt, number one, 12.6 sacks. Chandler Jones, number two, 12.5 sacks.
Okay, but you always say you're either ascending or descending.
Yep.
Watt last year had four sacks. Is he ascending or descending?
Yeah, I mean, you can make an argument. It's been a while. It's been, I think, 3 years since he had one of those gigantic seasons.
And he's had injuries, to be fair to him.
Yeah, he's had 2 years that were really lost to injury. I don't think I would have invested that much in J.J. Watt. I do think... I mean, I think he's a great player. I think he's a great community leader, all that stuff. But I do think, and I love the – we got this from the late Marty Schottenheimer. Every player is either ascending or descending. And absolutely, J.J. Watt is descending. Now, the Rams have gotten great value out of guys that were descending. You know, they got great value out of Clay Matthews. I mean, you can still turn a descending player into an incredibly important part of your offense or your defense. But – this, I would not have spent or locked up that amount of money, 2 years and about $30 million on J.J. Watt. But hey, their defense will be interesting.
All right, by the way, just slip in a little breaking news here. This surprises me a little bit. Lloyd Pierce, the coach of the Atlanta Hawks, has just been fired.
Oh, wow.
They're only two games out of the play-in tournament. But they're 14-20. They had a young roster they thought would be better, and now Lloyd Pierce is out. So he becomes the second coach fired this year. Ryan Saunders of the T-Wolves got fired first, and now Lloyd Pierce is out. And also, for what it's worth, Mace, because we've had conversations about this before, Lloyd, obviously one of the African-American coaches in the league. I'd be surprised if Atlanta, which is, you know, the All-Star game is going to be on display there this weekend, so the whole NBA is descending on it. I'll be surprised if they do what Minnesota did and already have somebody ready to go, you know, without going through a process. I think they'll probably go through a process.
Yeah, let's be honest. Chances are they'll wind up with a white guy. That's the way this
maybe
thing goes.
Not in Atlanta.
I hope not. I mean, I hope that they see African-American candidates because the guy got overlooked in Minnesota, the lead assistant. You mentioned LeBron James for all-defense team. I just saw a tweet from Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Retweet for @KingJames all-defensive team.
I'm telling you, man, if you were living on Mars and you watched these last two games, there's no way you look at that and say LeBron's not one of the best 15 defensive players in the NBA.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, and for people who don't know, LeBron was five times first team all defense early in his career. And then the sixth time he was all defense, he was on the second team. Last time he was on any team was 2014. But these last two games, when they got Schroeder back, may say 24 steals in two games. I mean, come on.
You've got to accept what I was saying last week right now.
About
The defense checking out in that Utah game.
Well, maybe that was part of what kicked him in the butt this weekend.
Right.
But the thing I'm trying to figure out is how much difference or how much credit we should be giving Schroeder, because it sure looks like he was one of the main reasons they weren't clicking. And by the way, the Clippers have been having trouble, and I think one of the main reasons is they don't have a point guard to kind of set things up and initiate their offense and get things going. You know, they got guys like Lou Williams and Pat Beverly. And
Patrick Beverly,
who can be good, but they're not Dennis Schroeder.
And Lou's not a facilitator, and Patrick Beverly is more a defensive-minded point guard.
Right.
So they could use that offensive guy.
Yesterday, last 2 minutes, they didn't score, and Milwaukee came from behind to beat them.
Yep. All right, coming up next, we've not talked to her in a while. We'll talk a little Rams. We'll talk about J.J. Watt arriving in the NFC West. Our friend, the soon-to-be-married Lindsay Theory, is going to join us coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.